Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm excited to introduce our guest today. I have Kavit Haria with me. And from a young age, Kavit was a learner to play the world's most difficult percussion instrument, the tabla. Having immersed himself in learning about artist promotion, Kavit began to raise his profile and performed across the UK at venues large and small, with many artists, including Jimmy Page at the Royal Albert Hall, and recorded albums at the famed Abbey Road Studios. Recognizing the demand for sharing what he learned gave rise to Kavit's first company, Insider Music Business. Within 5 years, from 2005 to 2010, Kavit created 35 different educational products online, from ebooks to video courses and audio training to membership programs, which he promoted to the growing database of 120,000 musicians and hit seven figures in revenue. Kavit then turned to share his marketing automation strategies at business conferences in the UK and ran private workshops for small business owners in New York, Sydney, and London. Since 2013, Kavit has been running Automated Business System, a flagship service to help experts and brands strategize, build, launch, and market their businesses online. He has helped launch and grow 120-plus businesses for clients, generating over $100,000 or more in their first year online sales. It's my pleasure to introduce Kavit.
Thanks for having me.
Wow. Well, there's so much here to cover. I'm really excited, but I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for self-purpose, and that is I'm a percussionist as well.
Wow,
and
that's so
yeah,
cool.
So that had to be pretty exciting, playing with Jimmy Page.
Yeah, it was great. And that specific experience was another artist that you might know. His name is Donovan. So it was his wedding anniversary. And as a celebration, specifically this one event I remember at the Royal Albert Hall, where he was running his anniversary event, sellout audience, huge London Contemporary Orchestra, and the tabla and the sitar accompanying them, and Donovan on stage with Jimmy Page. It was just absolutely epic. It was really amazing.
Oh, I bet it was. I was reading this, and I always read the bios first just to familiarize myself with the guest, and I was like, oh, it was just like, that must have been awesome. So that was the first thing I wanted to ask you about. So why don't we just jump into...
What percussion do you play?
Well, I played more classical music in school growing up and learning, and then I've played with rock bands. I've played with jazz bands. I did the whole marching, you know, scene in high school.
Cool.
And so I've done kind of the whole gamut of that. And I still have a drum set here that I sort of just kick around on for fun. I don't really ever play anymore professionally or anything. But that was a big, huge part of my life when I was a young adult. So it's exciting.
That's very exciting. That's very cool.
It was. So I never played with anybody of the likes of Jimmy Page. And I loved, you know, growing up, I'm just kind of from that era of, you know, 70s. And oh my gosh, I loved Led Zeppelin. Oh, just absolutely did.
I do some interviews sometimes when people are like, oh, who's that? And then we'll brush over it very quickly. So it's so great to hear from somebody who loves it.
Absolutely. So why don't you like fill in some of the gaps from your bio and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey and kind of where you are today. You did a bit in the bio anyway, but if you want to elaborate a little bit on the ins and outs of that journey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think you covered a lot of the whole big pieces of it very nicely in the bio. So I would definitely talk about my background then. I'm basically born in London. My parents are born in East Africa, and their parents are born in India. So sometimes I feel like I'm completely multicultural, but also very varied. And as I grew up in London, listening to Western music, I always wanted to fuse this Eastern instrument that I learned to play, which is, as you said, dubbed one of the hardest percussion instruments to play. And I always wanted to play that with Western music. And so that's when I really began to look at new ways of working. And there's always been this thing in me where you could forge ahead and create a new path that wasn't there. And so that's how the music thing came about. And then as I became a musician and then became an entrepreneur, I felt that entrepreneurship was always in my blood. My dad is an entrepreneur. He has his own business. He has a business with his brothers. And I feel like somewhere along the line, maybe there was some kind of inspiration or subconscious training on what the next steps should be. And I actually went to university. I studied a completely very different thing called genetics. And I studied that for 3 years. And I was very inspired and very much interested in the world of DNA and how things come about and the whole science of that. So I studied and immersed myself in that for 3 years. But at the same time, I was building this music business. And very soon after that, I came to realize that actually this is where if I put all my energy into one thing, I could make it the craft and the piece of work that I'd be proud of that would also produce some revenue and give me the kind of life that I might want. And so I did that. And as you mentioned, there are the 35 products. There was a database that was quite large. And I heard from a friend, Derek Sivers, who was the founder of a company called CD Baby. And he said that this is the true definition of an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is somebody who can truly leave their business, go away for a certain amount of time, come back, and still produce the same kind of results. And when I heard that from him as the true definition of an entrepreneur, and he left from Portland, Oregon, went traveling for a year, came back, and CD Baby was still doing very well. And a couple of years later, he sold it for large sums of money. I thought, well, if he could do that, maybe I could do that. So I decided to go traveling. I had a great time, really just got to see the world, learned a lot about letting go because I felt like I had to do everything in my business. I was the best person at it. Only I could do it. I went through that whole turmoil that an entrepreneur goes through about willing to let go and let other people come in and do things. And interestingly now, maybe 8 years after that, I feel like actually the people I hire have to be smarter than me because only if they're smarter than me and in the right positions are they going to be able to take the vision and drive the vision forward. Otherwise, it's only limited by the capacity that I put into it. So that brings us to today. You know, I went through a whole journey of speaking at conferences, teaching workshops in London and Sydney and New York to lots and lots of people. But there was just some element of fulfillment missing. Immersing yourself in a workshop for 2 days is exciting. It's energizing. It's enthralling. But it also comes with a whole amount of overwhelm and not following through and maybe forgetting what you've learned and not putting it into practice. So I was always a little bit unfulfilled by that, that people would come, they would enjoy it, they would love it, they would pay money for it, but that would be the end of their experience. And so in 2013, I switched that model on its head and I thought, well, you know what, I'm really good at helping people and sharing with people how they should structure their ideas to really reach it in the world. That was really my sweet spot. Like, how do I take an idea, break it down, and teach it in a way that actually has mass impact. And so I started Automated Business System, which is the service I've been running ever since. It's been really exciting to run that because every month we take on a few people and essentially we run them for 12 months through a business development service where we're working on their strategy, their business model, their idea, who they're serving, their product, their sales funnel. And then we're taking all of that information and we're building it for them. So our team of designer, copywriter, web developer, filming, production, etc. put everything on the web so their business is fully functional, and then we help them market it in the very first year to 100 grand in sales. So I have to say that that has been, and everything that I do seems to be rolling in and snowballing into the very next thing. And it seems like when I look back on what I've been doing so far, everything is built upon to allow the next thing to flourish even more. And really, like everything I've done in the last 4 years has been truly fulfilling to see so many businesses, so many people leap out of their inner comfort zone and launch products and processes and projects and services and create such meaningful work in the world that people are having transformational results, producing great financial results. And all of these things have led me to put all these ideas in the book that I'm launching this month called Don't Sleep on It.
Well, that's great. And that's exciting. Writing a book is no easy feat.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely been... I've always wanted to do it. That's the first thing. I know that I've always wanted to do it. And I think a lot of people always know, or at least know that they want to write something, but just getting it out there is really tough. And I very much can resonate with that. It's taken like two and a half years of stop, start, stop, start, yep. Stop, start to get to where it has been. And really, when I look back on it and I feel proud about it, I could really have done it in 3 months or 6 months or maybe even less. But just that constant, okay, it's not good enough. Okay, let me add more to it. Okay, let me wait a little bit more. I might have a bit more story experience to add into it. Or some other life experience might come and jolt me and give me a break, and I might come back and write more to it. There's always been that stop and start. And I've probably rewritten it twice, I would say, from where it was to where it is right now. So I definitely feel it's in the best place it could be for me to just say, let's get this out there. Let's actually use it to have the impact it should have. And then we'll think about another one later on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. So tell me about what you feel are a couple of your skill sets that have really helped you to move your business forward.
Wow, that's a great question. And I think that so many different skills lead me to where I am today.
Yep.
And some skills I have in volumes, I would say, and some I actually don't have. But you learn them along the way. Sometimes you're forced in the growth of your business, in the growth of your project, to learn certain skills. But definitely, I think that the delegation is one of them. Like, if I didn't have those struggles those many years ago to give up what I was doing and give it to other staff who may have done it 50%, 60% as good as I might have done it in my own personal view, then I think that if I didn't go through those tests of hiring people and wasting money, I would never learn the skills of knowing how to accurately delegate. Like saying to somebody, hey, you know, do this job for me and that would be great and you'll be part of the team, etc., is easy. But actually being able to construct the role of somebody for them to be able to confidently perform that role to get the result is a neat skill. Like to be able to say, these are the things I need you to do, this is how they should be done, and this is how they should be delivered. And then within that, give them 20, 30% room for them to make the skills better, for them to make the role better, for them to improve the entire efficiency of the process, I think has been a really great skill that I've developed, I have to say, in the last few years. And also what comes with that is the ability to say, let's run with your ideas. Like as soon as somebody in our team, and we have 8 or 9 people in our company, in our team, and as soon as somebody says, you know what, this isn't working this way, let's do it this way, everyone will jump on a team call perhaps once a month and review what that person is talking about. And right away when I hear it, for me, it's mostly, let's go with it. And the ability to very quickly maneuver, pivot, move things into motion so that improvements are constant and quick, and has been really exciting. It's been exciting to see. And it's really grown the confidence in the other people as well to say that, hey, we could do this. We could make this improvement. It's our baby. It's not just his baby.
Well, that's great. So do you have an accomplishment that is super meaningful for you that you'd like to share with our audience?
I actually feel like putting this book out has been really fun. And it's I guess, recency, because it's right here in front of my mind. And it's been something that I'm really working on. It's something that I'm flat out sharing with the world, and not for my own benefit, but truly because I believe that what's written in the book will really help people to say, you know, hey, this is something that you've been idling about or sitting on the sidelines about with regards to what you know, who you are, your skills, your talents, and here's how to actually share it with the world. So that has to be one of them. But if I don't think about the book, then I think that my connection and meeting a few years ago with my spiritual teacher has to be one of the things that stands out for me in my life. Like this person that I went backpacking to India. I didn't plan on meeting a spiritual teacher or finding a teacher that could inspire me to be more stiller, to be more grounded, to know with clarity what I want, to learn how to meditate, to understand that there's more depth than this body that we live in. I didn't go to India with that mind. But I went to India, I went backpacking, I met the spiritual teacher, and I think that my life truly has taken a turn for the better since that occasion a few years ago. So that would be a great personal achievement.
Oh, that's wonderful. So on the polar opposite then, would you like to share maybe one of your greatest challenges that you've had and then how you worked through that?
I think one of the challenges, and this is perhaps one reason that I moved away from the music business, was because when I decided that I had created enough different products and I didn't have any other content in my mind to create. Like everything I knew about promoting your music online, I shared it in different formats. Everything I knew about getting more gigs, I shared it. Everything I knew about selling out your records, I created CDs, DVDs, coaching programs, you name it, all about those topics. Because I knew that those three things were the recipe and ingredients for you to be a successful musician who wanted to quit your day job. But on a personal level, everything I knew I put into products. So when I started to try to create products without any new material, I knew that I was going down the wrong hole and the wrong path. So for example, I set up a membership site. I put all my products in there. I allowed everyone to go in there and get it for the first month for free. Most people and thousands of people signed up, but most of them unsubscribed within the first month because they got their free material. So I was in this role trying to think of new stuff to create. And instead, I took myself into a position where actually I'd given away most of my material for free and I didn't have any more stuff to create. So I learned that the hard lesson that actually there's got to be a time when you know that enough's enough and that you can create material to the best of your ability and when that stops. Because then you've got to go back and rework on yourself, find new ideas, find new strengths, find new skills, find new talents, and share those.
Wow, that is such a nugget of wisdom, because I think that some people just stay stuck in the same place instead of realizing, I've done all that I'm going to do in this space. It's time for a new challenge, or it's time for something to go in a different direction. And I just think people stay stuck in that space. And unhappy. Yeah. And what I hear is people saying, well, it used to be this way, or a person used to do this. And it's like, I don't know, they still live in the same space of when they were creating all of that. And it was exciting instead of saying, I need to take these energies and put it into a new direction.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Great. So why don't you share with us, especially now you probably have some greater insights having transformed from your trip to India, but what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I love this question. When I saw it earlier, I thought, because I had quite a quick brief at some of the questions, I thought this one was really special because this really sings to the reason why we do what we're doing.
Yep.
We could all be in like really exciting careers, earning great money, and from time to time suffering from the reality that actually we're just in jobs that we're doing for somebody else and not creating the kind of freedom that we want with our time. And so when I get to my happy place, for me, what that means is waking up feeling really alive, knowing that what I'm doing today is going to make a difference, is going to matter to somebody somewhere, and really just singling out who that one person might be and just zoning in and focusing and speaking to them, sharing for them, creating for them, writing for them. So that would be the first step. And then the rest is really about the environment that I create for myself. So what am I consuming in my body from a food perspective? What am I consuming in my body from a mental perspective? Am I taking that time to really try to be silent so that the thoughts in my mind can escape or can come out or can show themselves up so I know what's really bothering me? Because the more I can be at peace, the more I can become stiller, the quality of work that I'm going to produce is going to increase. And then the other thing is just also knowing, I think, when your happy place is going to come to an end. So like for me, I know that 3-4 hours of really solid, extremely powerful work in the day is all I can actually manage. After that, I start to feel the slump of the day. I start to feel a little bit tired. I'll usually try to go out for a walk if it's sunny or sit in the garden and read. I'll make a coffee if that's what I need. But that powerful moment of 3 to 4 hours, which is really, truly 100% happy place, I've got to be able to pick those moments and know when they are and create those as well.
That's really powerful, too, because I think that if people, and I'm real big on this, would end up powering up when they're most productive, and for different people, that's at different times. So there is no set roadmap to that, right? Because everybody's very different in that regard. But if you could really capture when that is and work it to your fullest, and then, like you said, either do something else that you enjoy with that other time instead of trying to kind of force yourself to do subpar work, which I find that people do. I'm kind of that way myself. I really power up my strength time and then try to save the times that aren't for, like you said, walking. Like people always say to me, why do you walk at 5 o'clock? And I'm like, because it's my best time to walk and I'm done with the day at that. And sometimes if I'm feeling that at 3 o'clock, I'll go at 3 o'clock, but I'm not good at walking first thing in the morning. And that's not where I want to spend my energy time. Like I'm really creative first thing in the morning, and I like to sit down and sometimes I write some of the best stuff that I write. And so it's learning yourself, but also learning to work what works for you. But I get the biggest pushback from work doing my workouts at 5 o'clock when I actually love working out at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like for me, I think one most important thing that gets me into my happy place is sleep. Like knowing that I have to have enough sleep, it has been perhaps the most biggest revelation in the last 2 years. Like really, like just knowing that when it's time to sleep, it's time to sleep. And when it's time to get up, it's time to get up. But that is ruled by my body, not by an alarm clock that I feel like, oh, I got to be part of this 5 a.m. club and wake up at 5 a.m. Right. Even if my body's telling me not to. Because I feel that the better I wake up refreshed, the better I perform in the day.
I agree 100%. We were just actually having that conversation before I jumped on this podcast with the rest of my staff members about sort of quality of sleep and sleep patterns and sort of that same thing about, well, I'm not really tired at night. And I'm like, well, you can be tired if you went to bed and you just did something quiet or read or did something, you would get tired. Like instead of staying up till, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then you're like, I then still wake up at six. That's what they were saying. I'm like, then you just have to go to sleep. And because I'm kind of a night owl too, but I've learned to say, okay, I need this many hours of sleep, so I'm going to go on up to bed right now, whether I'm tired or I'm not tired. And ultimately, when I do that and I get my mind sort of shifted to that, I get tired.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, what advice would you give to those wanting to become entrepreneurs? And I want you to do this in a twofold, okay? I want you to do it from one, just advice that you have to give to someone that is like, man, I'd like to own my own business and such. And then the second is from the standpoint of what you do professionally. I think trying to figure out this automated system of digital online marketing is maybe the toughest nut that I've had to crack in the way I've had to shift my business in the last couple of years. And it's very difficult to know where to find all the pieces. So I'd love you to share. Normally, I just have people share what advice would you give to entrepreneurs, but I really would love it if you could give a little bit of advice on both.
Sure. I'm going to answer the first part first, and then I might need some clarification on the second. But so what advice would I give to somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur? Or somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur. The first thing is that if you want to be in business just to make money, it's not going to work. You have to be in business following an idea or chasing a dream or chasing a passion or making a change that is really important to you. And the reason for that is that the most important success that you will have in your business is going to come in the long-term thinking and planning of your business. So you sit down today, you find an idea you're passionate about, you start sharing it with the world. You cannot expect to be a success in 2 days, in 2 months, in 2 weeks, maybe even in two years. Like it really does require your commitment to sharing what you love on a regular, constant basis. And the only way you can be consistent in the long term is if it's something you're really passionate about, something that's really close to your heart. And now I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you go after something that people aren't going to buy or a product that people aren't going to be willing to pay money for. That has to be checked out too. But the most important thing, in my opinion, is that you've got to be connected to it in your heart so that every day you wake up, and even if you're in a job or in a career right now, but there's an idea that's burning inside you that you want to share. There's a life experience within your experience of life that you want to share. There's an expertise that you build up in 10, 15, 20 years of doing whatever it is that you're doing. You can still start to do that 30 minutes a day, 60 minutes a day, 2 hours a day, whatever you have. But that consistency, it's what's going to make it really count in the long run. That's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say to entrepreneurs who want to start is that you have to be willing to put yourself in front of the world, which means you have to be willing to share your ideas, whether they're written or they're audio or ideally they're video, with the world, which means can you get yourself in front of a camera and share a few ideas? Can you get yourself on Instagram and share some stories? Can you get yourself on Facebook and do a few lives and start to build the confidence or the clarity of your thought that's necessary to do that? And most people, by the way, and this leads to that last point, most people aren't confident to do any of these things, not because they're not good at it, but because they don't have clear thoughts. They don't know with pristine clarity exactly what it is they want to share with the world. So let's say you're somebody who knows how to help somebody lose weight. You have a process, you have a plan, you know exactly how to lose weight. Unless you can clearly identify and write down that plan, you're going to feel hesitant to share on video. You're going to feel hesitant to share on an audio. So the clearer you are about your process, your thinking, what you're really good at, your subject matter, your topic, the more confident you will immediately become, just because it's your natural place and joy to share that with the world.
That's great. And that was awesome. And super great advice, especially about that last piece. And what I meant by the other is, so people tell you, and like I've had my platform, I'll just use myself as an example. And then maybe then you can give clarity to that.
Perfect.
So I've had a successful business for 25 years almost. And much of what it was done earlier and how I built that was much in a very old fashioned way, I guess, of doing business, or what would be called a traditional way of doing business. But I put myself out there and I, you know, it was all about relationships. And it was, you know, in the very, very beginning, it was just phone calls. I mean, we didn't even really have internet. I think my second year into the business, we had a website and we had internet. But like for years, all I did in my marketing was I had constant contact. We did a newsletter and we had a website, and people could go from the newsletter and they would order and everything was great. Well, as these, especially in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, and I'm saying five, really seriously five, but it's probably more like 10, there's been a huge shift. And social media has been an incredible shift. But now there's all, you know, this online marketing piece, which I don't think the majority of people really know where to begin. So I recognized that I was a little behind the eight ball. So I'm like, okay, I need to get moving. And I hired a social media trainer who could assist me in doing some of the training that I was doing that was more knowledgeable about that, to reach a different demographic of audience. So we started doing that. I started doing some of the things. But to know, what software platform do you get? What tools are the best to use? How do you find the right person that's going to hire you to do that? Now, it sounds like you have an incredible one-stop shop. But then, like, is that affordable for everybody of the people that would be listening here? I don't know the answer to that. So what if it weren't? And how do you navigate your way through this? And I can tell you, we have gone through many people who claim to know what they're doing and they don't. And we still, I don't believe we've gotten where we need to be fully, the way that it's automated, the way that it works. Exactly what you said. I would love to be able to leave for a period of time, more than a week, and come back and my business be completely functional. So I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs who, especially like myself, have had very good success in doing business a very traditional way, but they've got to wrap their arms around this online marketing. And where do you even begin?
That's an amazing question. And first of all, there's lots of different areas that I could cover, and I'll try to cover as many as I can in the time that we have. But what I wanted to say, first of all, is that it is not easy, I guess, to be in business for 25 years. I mean, I don't think I'm not old enough to be in business for 25 years, and you're in business for 25 years successfully, and that is a huge achievement by all means. So that's just so nice to hear.
And thank you.
So where I wanted to go with the answer then was that the very first thing that we would walk people through is really understanding what makes you different. Like, what is it about you? And this is for anyone listening, because the work that we do is typically with coaches, consultants, trainers, speakers, anyone in the service space who's really got messages and ideas to share, but want to share it in a way that reaches a larger group of audience and then facilitates some kind of learning, training, sharing with a larger group of people rather than that one-to-one thing. So the very first thing is, what makes you different? Like, where do you stand out? What is unique about you? What is there that is special about you that the world needs to know and then the majority of people can resonate with? And then once we go through that whole consulting phase of what makes you different, who's your customer avatar, What does your branding look like? What does your expert brand look like? Your course online that you might want to sell, whether it's a whole info module course online, or it's a podcast series that you might be selling, or whatever it is that you're selling. And then the most important step that I would then take people through, and where I would start this conversation with, is what is the journey the customer needs to go on? And I think that's where most people jump. So most people will basically go and look for the fancy tools like Lead Pages or ClickFunnels or Infusionsoft or Aweber or any of the tools, really. And the trick is that most tools can actually do what you need, but the problem is we don't really know what we need to be doing first. So the first step is the sales funnel journey, which is when somebody comes and interacts with you, what is the very first thing you want them to see? What is that first thing? Is it a blog post? Is it a video on social media? Are you then pixeling and creating an audience of people that has interacted with your material? If you have, are you then retargeting to that audience to drive them to your very first lead magnet where they can opt in for some information? Then are you selling them something, or are you building a relationship with them? And it does really depend on the type of work that somebody does. Somebody who's in the relationship space, or somebody who's working with new mothers who are, or people that are pregnant perhaps, wants to connect with them emotionally more than somebody who's in business. And that's typically because getting yourself on video, doing Facebook Lives, doing webinars, whatever, is going to have more of an impact on somebody like that than somebody who's perhaps busier, swift sifting through emails a lot quicker, making decisions faster because they're in business and they have more to do, etc. It could be all kinds of those things. So you have to think about the modalities of how you communicate with people. But typically there's a framework for the sales funnel. It follows four steps. The very first is lead generation. How do you get people to your site? The second is lead capture. What are you doing to engage those people and pull them in so that you can start to build a relationship with them? The third is lead nurturing. And if people don't know, like, and trust you, they're not going to buy. So how do we automate that entire process using email, using webinar, using video, using audio sessions that we might send out, PDFs, worksheets, etc., all in a chain of email? But the key with the email is that you've got to be responding to the speed at which they're responding. So if someone is coming to your website and they're opting in for something to do with networking, because that's a topic that somebody might teach, then are you giving them information to do with networking, or are you also giving them your other stuff to do with speaking and sales and all of that? Because that's not what they're asking for.
Right.
Initially, what they're asking for is stuff to do with networking. Then as you begin to open a can of worms and build a relationship with them, then you can start to seep in. Oh, hey, by the way, I also write stuff about this. Is this something you're interested in? If they click yes in the email, you move them into a different chain and start to give them that information as well. So that behavioral marketing, where you're reacting and responding to what they're doing, as opposed to literally throwing stuff down their throat, is going to produce a much more responsive and profitable return in the business. So there's nurturing is the third thing. And finally, the fourth thing is lead conversion. So these are the four key stages that make up any sales funnel. And then, of course, you can get into more detail and talk about Tripwire and thank you pages and lead pages and all those kind of different things you might have in a funnel. But the reason most people don't make it work, number one, is because they don't sit to think about this. And second is they don't think about these four different areas of their business. Each one requires 25% of effort. Like, you can't just have a lead magnet and a landing page up and think that your lead capture job is done. Every month, are you devoting on your business building days 25% of time to each one of these four areas? Because if you improved each one of these four areas by just 10% every few months, you can imagine the kind of exponential growth or return or change it might produce in the business. And then finally, of course, you talked about tools. And tools can really be, and there's a whole marketplace of tools that we typically use, but I would suggest that the ones that we use the most common, and depending on the size of the client we're working with, are either ActiveCampaign for somebody who's new and starting out, or Infusionsoft for somebody who's quite established and fast growing. And then we'll use something like Proof, which is basically an amazing tool, useproof.com, that gives you that social proof that pops up on the site every time someone opts in or buys. Then there's also tools like GoToWebinar or Stealth Seminar, which offer opportunities for recorded or live webinars. Of course, there's Zoom. There's so many different tools like that as well. There's right. SamCart that is a great tool for shopping carts as well, to really design the tool exactly how you want. And then we use something called Membarium, which is something that works really well for people that have Infusionsoft and have membership sites. And if they don't have Infusionsoft, our favorite tool is Teachable.com, which allows you to create amazing, sophisticated, very simple, easy to use online courses.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for that. I think that will be helpful to those listening out there. And Kavit, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Oh, that's my great pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.